everybody's acting as nothing happened. And in Germany, it was so brutal. We had like two lockdowns, like each was like 6 and 8 months. I wasn't, like, there were a curfew, you know? And this is why I found Noster so fascinating. It's like, you know, this is why this affects me so personally and people, like, why I'm so passionate about it. It's like, oh my God, there is hope.
What is up, guys? Welcome back to Bitcoin Audible. I am Guy Swan, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know. We have got an interview today. We've got a chat episode today. And this is, I want to also just go ahead and point out that I incorrectly framed the Noster Booth initiative as Tanya's when I introduced her. And that's not true. She has been doing an enormous amount of work on it and helping to organize it. But the Noster Booth Initiative, for those who don't know, was this thing that kind of sprung up out of the community to crowdfund and bring together a booth for everything in Noster at all of the Bitcoin conferences. And it was such a cool idea. I saw it and I'm pretty sure I zapped a bunch the first time that it came across my feed, and I hadn't seen or known where it was until very recently, is that this has been kind of picked up and they want to bring it to all the Latin American conferences and basically all of the Bitcoin conferences. And I was talking with Svetsky about it, and then I met and was introduced to Tanya and everything that she has been doing to organize it. So I was like, we should just have a show about this. We should dig into it. And I thought this was mostly just going to be a show about Noster, but it ended up being about a lot of other things. She's new to the Bitcoin and Noster space. She has written multiple books, and in her journey trying to break out of the fiat mind, she literally went to go live with monks in silence to deal with her own thoughts, which was a really cool rabbit hole that we kind of explored for a little while. Just a really fascinating conversation. And had an absolute blast. And I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. And especially if you guys like Noster, which I'm a big Noster fan. So without further ado, let's dive into our conversation with Tanya on the Noster Booth Initiative, finding Bitcoin and breaking out of the fiat mindset. Tanya, welcome so much to the show. This is really interesting. For anybody who listens to the show knows that I geek out about Noster and stuff all the time. It's one of the most important things that has been happening in the quote-unquote Bitcoin space to me. But Svetsky told me kind of a rough rundown of running into you and the initiative that you have started and kind of like taken on yourself. And I was just immediately like, this is such a cool idea. And it's so like very Noster too. Like it was the whole ethos of it, like encompassed. And so I want you to give just kind of a short introduction to yourself. And then I want to kind of get into what led you here, because you're very new here. You're very new to both Bitcoin and Noster. And so I would love to get your perspective on that. But just an introduction for the audience for now.
Yeah, so I'm Tanya. I'm from Germany, as you can probably hear. Sorry for my noise. I'm so sick, so I don't know what's happening here. Probably the cold in Berlin. So, I am a book writer. I wrote a book. I published a few books. I'm a podcaster. I'm an event manager. And yeah, recently quit my fiat job because... I know you shouldn't say that. I mean, because
no, that's a big thing here. We all strive to quit our fiat job. That's a great thing.
It's like
a great
way to start this out. When I tell that people like here, yeah, I just quit my job. I work like for Bitcoin and Noster kind of, and they was like, which cult did you join? Like.
That's about how it is.
Apart from my parents, they are like, do whatever you want to do. We support you. Yeah. This is like,
that's awesome.
I mean,
that's
not financially, awesome. Unfortunately, but like emotionally.
We support you. We support your decisions. Good luck.
Good luck with that. No. Yeah, so that's me. I'm very new, as I said, to Bitcoin and Nostr, and still finding my way. I'm not going to lie. It has been like the last couple of weeks and months has been very intense. I did, of course, struggle, because if you start something very new in a new like community, which is very unique and extraordinary, and you don't know how these community like react, if there's someone new, and that's that's challenging. I'm not gonna lie. And yeah, so I, as I said, I still find my way. I did, of course, a few mistakes, which I think is normal, but as long as you communicate, I think and be honest, you do that the right way, right?
Yeah. So you made some mistakes. Is that like my mistakes getting into Bitcoin and stuff is I played the crypto game for a while, and that was a disaster. Where have you been bumping into? Where have you been finding walls? What's kind of the biggest challenge as you've kind of bumped into Nostr and tried to make a place?
Yeah, I think like the first time I got like get to know Nostr was this year in Prague at BTC Prague, where the community set up this Nostr booth. So it's not my initiative, so I didn't invent that. So the guys, Derek Ross, like Highlighter was there, Primal was there, Satlantis, and all the other people like from the community, the Nostriches, as we call them, set that up, and I volunteered there. And setting up a booth, this is what I do in my day-to-day job. Like, I unfortunately have these huge, like, big businesses who will come to us and say, oh, we want to have a booth at this exhibition. And then we say, yes, of course, we do this. And they pay you, and then that's sorted, and you can get wild and crazy and do all these cool things. So, and nice. For me, this is like setting up a booth is like, yeah, I just enjoy it. Like, you know, I like to organize these things. And I was like just so impressed, because none of these people are actually professional event manager. They are all like developers. They have all a normal job. They do that in their free time. And the come out was just so fantastic. And I was like, oh my God, I loved the energy there. And I loved the vibe. It was actually my first Bitcoin conference as well. I've never been.
What sent you out to BTC Prague?
Well, Svetsky invited me. He said, Tanya. Oh, okay. Yeah, invited me. He said, we need some volunteers. You're good in organizing things. Can you come down? And Prague is like 4 hours from Berlin. So, so I said, okay, yeah, why not? That's something new. And he said, you would like it. The people are there, they are nice. And which they are. And I was just like so fascinated about the whole community. And there were so many Germans as well, because I always thought like Bitcoin is something that's like something in the US, far away from me. And there was a whole Dach region. I was like, what is happening? And like, as soon as somebody is like, oh yeah, she's German, talk to her, she's German. I was like, why you want to talk to me? I have no idea. But just people are so like, they're more open when there's someone like who speaks the native like language, because in Germany it's not so, a lot of German people, they do not speak English very well. Like my mom, she doesn't speak English at all. Like my dad, he does, but like because of like the wall and history, it's Russia is more like common, like especially in the east part, so they didn't have that in school. Yeah,
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy to think about. The,
yeah.
The language barrier just on, depending on what side of the wall you ended up on.
Yeah. It's like, you know, so anyway, so Prague was amazing. Prague was so great. I was so fascinated about like Nostr, Bitcoin, the community, and I still didn't really get it, what Nostr was. It's like, oh, you can just say what you want. No, it's not a Twitter clone, it's more. And then you have these different clients. And it was like, oh, this is so cool. And I mean, I love my job. But like literally 5 days after Prague, I quit my job. I just gave my notice with no backup plan. And
you really joined the cult. You really joined it. You went hard.
Because the problem in Germany is you have like, you have to give 3 to 6 months notice and to a specific date.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
whoa, that's crazy.
It's crazy to a specific.
If I quit my job, I just walk out.
No,
just
it's difficult here. And you have also a cutoff date. Like, let's say I quit. I have to quit until the 30th of June to get out at the 1st of October. If I miss that by a day, you get out not before January.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is super like, but that's normal.
That's crazy. Yeah.
It's like, yeah. When I lived in London a couple of years ago, I was like, I just can, walk out.
Yeah.
And yeah.
That's crazy. That's crazy. I had no idea.
Yeah. That's why I said, you know what? Just let's do it. And I mean, you have 6 months to go. Like, you will figure out. And
it's at least giving yourself a runway, whether or not you've made the decision official with them or whatever. If you make it official with yourself, you know where you have to be at this time.
Yeah.
So,
and
the
good thing is like now I shifted everything like to Nostr and all these kind of things. They actually don't realize that I work on something else because I mean, they're just like on Instagram and LinkedIn and that's what that matters for them. So yeah.
Nostr's this weird little world. I finally got my sister-in-law on it, actually. And she was talking all about the same thing. She was like, wait, so there's multiple clients? What's a client? What do you mean a client?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Like that means that I have somebody I'm working with. What's that mean? It's like, is that an app? That's an app. Say an app. Say app if you mean app. And I was like, okay. I'll call it an app.
Oh my God. But, how did you convince her? How did that happen?
Slowly but surely. I've had her on Keet for a long time. I'm not sure if you know about the Pear Stack. It's a new peer-to-peer protocol that's basically an extension of BitTorrent. So these have been like my three main focuses in the last year. Actually, good Lord, I guess it's four. It's Bitcoin, Nostr, the Pear Stack, and AI. And AI specifically like self-hosted open source stuff because some of that tech is amazing. But so I got her on Keet mostly because like my business stuff is all built around there. And she was looking to do more stuff in Bitcoin specifically. She does design and graphics and all that stuff. She's really good. She's all the new stuff for Bitcoin Audible and everything. She did all of it. And I was like, well, if you're trying to reach Bitcoin people, you got to go on Nostr. And she was like, oh, because I told her about it like a year ago or something. And she was like, it sounds like nostrils. I can't stop thinking about noses when you talk about it. And so she was like really put off by that at first, and then finally got her on like last like 4 days ago or something like that, like late last week, and I reposted it and she just got like a flood of hey, welcome to Nostr, like just this like 30 messages, and she just kept she would just get like a notification, she would look over and be like, everybody's so nice.
This is like so great.
She's like, somebody just sent me money. Somebody just sent me Bitcoin for no reason. I was like, yeah, man, it's Nostr. Welcome.
It's so funny that you say that because the other day I was like just putting a I compared it to like Instagram and Nostra, and mm-hmm. I said good morning on Instagram and nobody gave a shit.
No.
And everybody,
GM, everybody
like,
on Instagram is like, what the hell is this? What is this?
Someone get said, out of my are you feed. Okay?
Yeah.
And then I did that, of course, on NASA, and I was like, with my coffee and maybe a picture, good morning, yeah. Have a blast, you know? And everybody, good morning, and sending me stats. It was like, hope you're having a fabulous week. I was like, oh, guys, this is so nice.
This is great. Man, it is hard not to gravitate towards, like, energy.
Yeah.
You know? And so many Bitcoiners and Nostr, people on Nostr carry it. And I really think it's just because they're hopeful.
Yeah.
You know, that it's like we can fix all of this stuff. You know, we're just in such a mess. There's so many problems stacked on top of problems. And I think so many people are just kind of lost in the, you know, what there's no path here. There's no anything. But you go to Bitcoin and Nostr and everybody's like, fuck that, I'll build an app for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can do that. We can fix that.
And yeah, that's so nice. I mean, go outside, go to the supermarket, say hello in a supermarket. They will say, what is wrong with me? I mean, especially in Berlin, yeah, you know? I mean, if you say good morning, oh my God. I mean, you can be happy that you're not get punched, right? So,
what do you mean by that?
If you cry, that's absolutely fine. That's normal. But yeah, so it's a very happy place, and the community has been great. And like, I have like at Prague, I met so many amazing people I've never seen or met in my life before. And then I went to Nostriga and the same people showed up there as well. And it was like a family get
together. It's like a traveling troupe, man.
It's like, oh my God. And you know,
all over the world.
And this energy and this buzz, and you meet new people, and then you have dinner with them, and wow, then you like, you have this excitement, you have this, I don't know, you have this energy.
We're the best cult. We're the best one.
It's so, really? You don't sleep and still have so much energy, and then you come back. I was so depressed, like after this week coming here, I was like, no.
That's why you gotta go GM on Nostr. You gotta,
yeah, exactly.
You gotta get your daily dose. Gotta get your daily dose.
Yeah.
Oh man. So tell me about the book. So I'm not sure how much you know about me or the show or whatever. I'm the guy who's read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know.
I heard that.
In that vein, I'm always keen for new books. I don't only read about Bitcoin.
Oh, good. Because my book is not about Bitcoin at all.
I imagine it's probably not. If you're weeks into Bitcoin and Nostr here.
That would be crazy.
That would be wild.
It took me like 1.5 years to write and publish my first novel. Yeah.
Man, books, dude. Books are a thing.
But it's amazing. I love to write. It's so nice. Yeah. It's healing. I started like writing as a therapy method. Can you say that? Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like working in like from 2015 to 2019, 20 in London.
Mm-hmm.
I worked there in the real estate industry and I was the manager. So yeah, so that was a very, very hard fiat job. You work a lot, you don't sleep, you burn out completely. I mean, I was in my mid-20s when I started, and wow, that was just, I mean, you are successful if you want to be, like you earn a lot of money, but what you give, like you leave your own life at the door, like, you know, you you give up your life, you don't have time for, like, my family wasn't there anyway, and you have no time for friends or anything else, so you just work, and that is cool for a couple of years, and then at one point
it loses its luster,
yeah,
a bit.
And you just keep going and keep going, and you work so much that you have no time to think why you do this, so you still keep going and going, And at one point, I realized my parents came to London and they looked at me and I was like physically there, but mentally I disappeared somehow. And I remember my dad saying something like, "Tanya, where are you? Like, where's your heart? You're cold. Like, you know, you're cold as stone." And I was like, okay, this is weird. And then I got sick. And at one point I said, I can't do this anymore. I literally cannot. I got addicted to several kind of things. I smoked too much. I drank too much. I partied too much. So these kind of things, I got anxiety. I never had, like, I never knew this thing would happen. Like, I never heard of that word before, like, anxiety, what is that? And then at one
main side effect of the fiat world.
Yeah, I was like, wow, what is that? I never had that in Berlin. And then I quit my job there and I was like, okay, I want to heal. I want to get better. Like, now, like, do it, like, because this is what we do it, like, finding a solution. So I booked a one-way ticket to Bangkok and lived with the monks.
Whoa.
So I saw...
No kidding. Talk about... Okay. That is a step up. That is a level up for, like, you know, when I deal with stuff, it's like, all right, I'm going to take a day off and get a coffee and I'm going to relax. And you're like, I'm going to Bangkok and I'm going to live with the monks and I'm going to sit... What? Okay. Hold on a second. Walk me through where that decision, like, what are the process, what's the process of getting there?
So I was thinking something is wrong with me. Because I, like, of course I wanted to heal, like, you know, and I couldn't take a pill, obviously, like, or medicine to just like make that appear. And then I was like doing a little research and I heard about people like saying, oh, they've been to this silent retreat or do meditation and things like that. And there was this one woman who had a blog and she was like, oh, I spent 21 days in a temple with monks, just having like a soup and just meditating from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. No distraction, nothing. And so I walked out as a different person. And I was like, I want that. Exactly. This is what I'm going to do. I can do it because, like, if I survived my job, somehow I do this. So I emailed this temple in Doi Suthep, up north in Chiang Mai, it was. And I was like, yes, I would like to do this 21 course. I can do it. And they were like, have you ever meditated before? What's your situation? It's like, not a problem. I haven't. But I just quit my fiat job in London. I'm super stressed. I just want to heal. And they said, we start with 3 days, maximum 5. But otherwise, this is going to be dangerous for you. I was like, what is wrong with these people? It's like, why? Why is that dangerous? I mean, just sitting there doing nothing, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So I came there. They took everything from you, like the phone. You were just allowed to wear white clothes. You were not allowed to talk at all. You were not allowed to do yoga, sports, exercise. You were just live by the schedule, which means getting up at 5 a.m., then having at 7 breakfast, which is a soup. Then lunch at 11, which was another soup. And that's it for the rest of the day. You were allowed to drink water, of course.
Yeah.
But nothing else. Really, no reading, no writing, nothing. Literally.
You were alone with your brain.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there was one part where you were allowed to, like, have a conversation with a monk every day for 5 minutes. As a check-in. And they explained that you have to do this check-in because, like, literally some people, like, took them, like killed themselves there because they couldn't, like some people died there because they were like not, yeah.
I mean, the cutoff there would be like, honestly, that seems like just crazy to me. Like that is an extremely difficult shift in lifestyle and expectation of your day, you know?
And I was...
So many addictions. It was... So many addictions are being cold turkey.
So, so lost. Like, literally, I thought I'm gonna die. Because I was just like, basically, you sit for 15 minutes, then you walk for 15 minutes, and then you repeat that the whole day. Of course, if you have to go to the loo or so, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But that's it. You are there with yourself and your thoughts and your monsters. And oh my God, if you like, you try to focus and try to like kind of meditate and count, but stuff is coming up, like, you know, all this real, real things you did. And oh my God, my mind was just like, it was buzzing. It was burning. It didn't stop. And I was like, oh my God, I wanted to shout, like, you know.
That's so crazy to think about because, you know, so much of what we do, I mean, this is like one of my quote unquote coping mechanisms, so to speak, is I busy myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm trying to deal with something or like a shift, like I remember when my girlfriend broke up with me my freshman year in college. I worked like 12-hour days all summer and just, I mean, I was just like, I just drowned myself in building things, you know, like that was just like a thing that has been common throughout my life. And how many things we create, like how many people hide from so many issues, a loss that they didn't deal with, a bad decision that they've been ignoring, a relationship that they've been letting continue that should have ended a long time ago. I mean, how many things, like the stack of stuff that was probably ignored by just going and finding another tweet or turning on the TV or scheduling a thing or going and just going back to work and just getting through with the day and then napping when you get home, you know, just all of that would just come back and it's just all in front of you. Cannot do anything but deal with it. I can see,
yeah,
you know, when you think about it from the context of like being at a distance is, you know, oh, just being silent for a little while. Go do that for 15 minutes.
Yeah, do that.
Go try to do that for 15 minutes.
And it was.
No, I can see that.
On the second day, I was like going to the monk and I was like, this is not for me. It doesn't work. I go. And he was like, okay, you can go, but you're weak. I was like, excuse me? What did you say to me? I was so offended. I was like, did you just call me weak? So I stayed for 5 days. I literally stayed for 5 days. This guy knew me. I don't know. He just could tell. And like from the third day onwards, I wouldn't say it got better, but I was allowing my thoughts and like feelings come through and it was okay. So,
not fighting them.
Yeah, not fighting them. I cried for the first time in 10 years because I never cried. Like when my grandparents died, I didn't cry. It was like just, I wasn't emotional. And yeah, and what I found so interesting is I wasn't there alone. There were other young people my age. Like I was like, they were even not 30. And I was like, oh my God, in what kind of world are we living that you need to go to Thailand to a like silent monastery to go through this because there's something so fucked up with the system that you have to like...
That's okay on this show.
Okay, good. Like, can I say that?
Yeah.
That you have to like, work through that. And that is like, And after that, I was just so grateful. I called my parents crying, saying them I love them. I fixed so many friendships where I really like did mistakes when I was still in London. I wasn't a nice person. And so I really worked like on myself. And then I started therapy, obviously, to just like go through this process. And then I started writing and I wrote everything down. And somehow like a friend of mine, she was like, oh my God, you do write very well. I was like, what? And she's an editor. And she said, mm-hmm. Do you know? And just write it down. Like do that from a third person, just rename the characters, like make a little story. But this is good. So this is what I did. And I wrote that because I want to have like given people an opportunity to say something who can't say something, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And because otherwise I could just have written it and didn't publish it. But I think I'm not the only person who's been through that. So many people like face these kind of things, but they're afraid to talk about it. They're afraid to talk the uncomfortable topics. So so this is what I did. And that happened during the pandemic. So because you have time then.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. That's bonkers. So it was a novel. And have you written multiple books?
Yeah.
Since then?
I did another one. I'm just looking at it because it's over there. Where I wrote about my breakup with my ex-boyfriend. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because this can be very traumatizing as well. And it heals somehow, you know? So it heals, makes life easier. And yeah. But that's in German only.
Oh, gotcha. There was, who was it? I'm sure this is probably, I'm sure plenty of people have said something along these lines, but it was something about like writing is the process of actually defining thoughts.
Yeah.
Of actually making a thought something ethereal and weak and poorly edged into something concrete and real. And I tell you what, man, writing is not easy. I have to salute anybody. Like the fact that Svetsky has finished the Bushido of Bitcoin, and I am so excited about that book. That one, I'm pretty jazzed about that one. But hats off to anybody who can finish a book, man. I have a hard enough time finishing 5-minute video scripts.
But I think once you're in the flow, I mean...
Mm-hmm.
It was like, and I had months where I couldn't write. I couldn't write a single word. Like,
yeah.
And those days, there were no ChatGPT. There were no AI. So, like, you know, there was like, you have to think. Like, your brain actually has to work. And, so what helps me is just like going for a walk, like, or like I do run a lot. And, then you have ideas, things are coming up. So, yeah. So who sees which kind of novels happening next?
So when you joined the cult very recently,
yeah,
and so you have kind of taken the Noster Booth initiative on. You've kind of adopted it to kind of head it off here. Can you give me more details? Because I kind of bumped into it on Noster. Probably it was Derek Ross or somebody sharing it out or whatever that I was seeing. And I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. But I didn't know if it was going anywhere. I thought it was just kind of like a random pop-up thing. But then it seems to have been more concrete. And this is related to... So this is very much in line with what you did. So... At some point recently, you switched to event planning and doing like booths and stuff. And now you have quit that or set things up to quit that. And you're going to be doing Noster, Bitcoin, whatever you can do in this space. Kind of give me the play by play of that story.
Ooh, yeah. So basically, I mean, their Noster booth. Also happening, like initially for me, it's a community. It's not just like mm-hmm. me who is saying, oh, this is the Noster Booth initiative. No.
Sure. Yeah.
No,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
like yeah. the guy.
I don't mean to frame it like that if it comes across like that. But yeah.
I mean, yeah. it's the thing is like this tour we're going to plan will be in South America. So there are mm-hmm. three big conferences, which is LaBitConf, SatsConf, and Adopting Bitcoin. And all of them would like to have a Noster like booth at the conferences. And like the thing is why I took this on is developers and all these kind of amazing like businesses, they have no time. Like, you know, yeah. the hassle is so much in like organizing not just one conference, it's three. It's like, it's three booths, yeah. it's three setups, it's three cities across South America. And what started like with just a booth turns into a whole like, yeah, I don't know. It's like we have Noster days now. So like after every conference, there will be a whole Noster day. And
yeah.
so there are amazing communities in these cities already, like in Buenos Aires. There's this community called La Crypta, and they do a lot of Noster stuff. And they are absolutely incredible, super supportive, helping me so much. But what they don't have is money. They don't have funding. Like, you know, mm-hmm. they want it. They are supportive. They have the community house where we have the whole Noster day, the day after the conference, where we will have mm-hmm. then workshops and panels and onboard people and... But it needs someone who has experience, I think, with these kind of things, who knows how like organizers work, because of course a booth, they can't give that us for free. Like they give us yeah. heavy discounts yeah. already. Like literally when I see the prices I normally work with, this is nothing. It's like, you know,
yeah.
it's so they are so generous because they really, really want Noster there. They want like freedom of speech, and they see the bigger picture behind it, because I think if you get these people like hooked to Noster at those conferences, they like I got hooked as well on a conference, like you mm-hmm. know, I had no idea
yeah.
and I was so fascinated and I'm so into it, and like La BitConf has 10,000 attendees, and also like, you know, that's a lot. It's a lot. Whoa. It's a lot.
That's and crazy. Yeah.
Like, imagine like a booth set up, like three conferences. We need 30K, like in total, like for the setup, for the Noster mm-hmm. days. I also like have Max DeMarco on board, who is doing some footage and like, you know, some videos. And
yeah, Max does a lot of great videos.
Oh, he's so cool.
He's
yeah.
done a great job.
He's
yeah.
so cool. And I mean, his Noster documentary with Jack Dorsey was just mind-blowing. And now he wants to, like, go to South America and is, like, coming with us and supporting, like, this with his work as well. And this just brings it on a different level. And I think, I don't know where I wanted to go with this thought, but now.
When is the one in El Salvador? Because Svetsky is trying to pressure me to go to that
one. Oh, yes. Please come. Oh, my God. Yeah. 15.
I cannot promise anything.
Yes,
I don't know
please.
Yet.
Oh, my God. This God, is going to be, you know, I'm going to bring my parents there as well. So I was like, Mom, Dad, you have to come, because.
When is it?
15th to 16th of November.
Of November, of
yeah.
November, okay.
And mm-hmm. we have such a beautiful, I mean, we would love to do this Noster Day on the 17th. I spoke with the mm-hmm. organizers there. They will give us, do you know Bitcoin Beach at El Zonte?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they have this amazing Bitcoin mansion. And they said, look, everybody will be down there for the after party anyway at the beach. Do the Noster Day mm-hmm. at Bitcoin Mansion. They give you a massive discount. And I was like, oh, my God, if I compare that to every other, like, location, it's still, yeah. it's not much money, but you still, like, you still need 2 to 3K, like, you know, Mm-hmm. But it's just like beautiful and it's just great. I mean, just like having everybody there, setting them up, like having an onboarding process. So
there's one thing about Noster that, and I think this is one of, especially because it's still a pretty small community, you know, there's still like, you know, maybe 50 to 100,000 daily active of people that are up there, and it's mostly Bitcoiners. But the thing that gets me that's so wild is the built-in payment directory.
Yeah.
And it's something that Lynn Alden talked about recently. Like, so a great example is I was telling you that the reason, you know, we started 7 minutes late, my bad, by the way, was because I was getting supplies together for the North Carolina mountains. They got hit with Hurricane Helene, and they've been straight decimated. It's awful. But we just went and filled up two shopping carts with like diapers and water and toothbrushes and, you know, that sort of stuff, just the basic necessities, and went off and delivered it. But I just kind of sent this out on Noster, and a whole bunch of people started zapping. And, you know, I was just like, okay, well, first, the easiest thing to do is I can forward all the zaps, and I can put I've got like 800,000, a million sats or something in my Zap wallet. Okay, I can push that too. And then, but it just kind of kept flooding in. You know, I just was talking about it on Noster, and then people kept zapping. And then somebody asked me, is like, is there any other place that we can donate? And I was like, all right, well, here's a Bitcoin address. And I posted that. And almost immediately somebody donated $500.
Wow.
And, you know, like, and it's still, you know, it's not like $1 million or anything. It's like $1,800, $2,000 or something in total, somewhere around there. But it still makes a huge difference. It makes a huge difference. And that's one of the things about the Noster booth initiative and the idea is how cool it is that you can just post about it and you're immediately raising funds. Like, sure, you can use Geyser and you can have like the set amount and all of that stuff, but the money can flow just like conversation.
Yeah.
You know, like it just flows. And it is so crazy how important that is.
Yeah.
I happen to have two Zap wallets. So I intend to throw a little bit at the Noster booth as well. It will not be as much. It will not be as much. And it's a bad timing right now for me, but I will throw some sats that way because I want to have a Noster booth at all the
like
Bitcoin conferences. It deserves it.
Keep forgetting. I think like a dollar is a lot of money if like 1,000 people put in a dollar. And for you and me, a dollar probably is not much, but like for the people in Buenos Aires, a dollar or 10 means the world. I mean, the average salary is $500 to $600 a month. So when I say they don't have money, they really do not have money. And I mean, I'm not rich, but it's like, you know, I can pay for my flights. Like, you know, I can pay for my accommodation. And I'm so, so willing to do that if that means you can do something for the future and have actually a future and have hope. Because I mean, what am I gonna do with that? Like buy me new clothes? No, like, you know, so like what's the point? And that's actually a good thing because like, right now we have the Geyser Fund because on Noster, maybe I put just all my sats in. Like I tell people zap me and I just put everything on Geyser. Yeah, that's good.
But I was like, no, that's exactly what I do is if I'm ever trying to raise for something or just trying to push it somewhere, it's the easiest way because they're going to see your post talking about it and then zap that and just forward it along. You know? And go right over to Geyser and just dump it in there.
Yeah. No, that's good. I do that. That's cool. Yeah. See, learned something new today again. This is great.
Now I'm curious too, since you were talking about your dad in East Germany, were both of your parents from East Germany or?
No. So we are.
Or East Berlin, I mean.
We are West Berlin. So, I mean, officially Berlin is like from the east, but it's the west part, so it's different.
Okay, gotcha.
But yeah, I mean, still, like, my mom, she just had a very basic and simple education. So mm-hmm. where there was just no second language involved. So that was just mm-hmm. very normal. But no, they are absolutely, they're lovely. I mean, they're both like in the medical industry. My mom is not a doctor, but like kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were questioning like the system when lockdown happened and all these kind of things. So,
yeah.
And they were writing posts and stuff, an essay on Facebook, and everything got deleted. Everybody called them a liar, and everybody forced them to do stuff they don't want to do. They went to court. And I mean, I was working in a hospital that
they went to court.
Yeah. Like the European court. I mean, they want to take their license away. Like, you know, this is like.
It's unbelievable how messed up everything that happened was.
And people forget that because for everybody was like, yeah.
They just want to memory hole it.
Yeah. It's like.
Like.
Everybody's acting as nothing happened. And in Germany, it was so brutal. We had like two lockdowns, like each was like 6 and 8 months. I wasn't, like there were a curfew.
Oh, man.
You know, and this is why I found Noster so fascinating. It's like, you know, this is why this affects me so personally and people like why I'm so passionate about it. It was like, oh, my God, there is hope. If I ever have children, mm-hmm. yes, there is a world out there where I can like actually raise children. And I would love that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
How did that inform and or change your thoughts? Like was that the first thing that caught your eye about Noster? Was it just the idea of freedom of speech and just seeing, you mean to tell me that post from Facebook, like you're talking about a world where that can't be deleted? And was that a big shift for you? Was that like a big wake up call, or was it something that was you already kind of knew and that was just kind of a nail in the coffin for it, so to speak?
It's a solution I was looking for.
Yeah.
I think that's what like I'm aware of these things, like because my parents, they have their little cults here as well, you know, so they're underground communities, how we call them, but they're not like, they're not familiar with Bitcoin. They don't know. It's just basic. You know, they said, oh, we have mm-hmm. our own email address now. So this is so secret. Mm-hmm. I was just like, you know, and these letters we are sending, we have to be careful with the address. And then we have this new building. And so we meet there. I was like, oh gosh, this is so cool.
That's funny.
But this is the way, like, you know, if they don't have any other resources, this is great. You know, there are a bunch of doctors trying to find a solution. And when I like saw Noster, and I was like, you don't need this. There's this solution. You have everything here. Nothing. Mm-hmm. And they say, somebody can just like, no, and have our data. I said, no, mom, this goes on beyond. Like, you know, I spoke to Illuminates the other day and they said, they're doing this amazing work, like with the hospitals, your health data, your like security, your data protection. I was like, oh my God, this is just, I mean, this goes on and on and on, you know? And yeah, so my parents came to Prague actually as well, so on the last day, and but they didn't understand anything because it was all in English. So I was like, damn it.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, and...
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
That's such a mess, man. Language barriers suck. Language barriers suck so bad.
It's so bad. And I spoke to Derek on Friday, and I was like, Derek, we need an AI where you speak German. It's like...
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. No, I have been working on this. I haven't really talked about it publicly, but my problem is that the solutions are 95% of the way there, so to speak. But it's also just a huge resource allocation to get it off the ground. But there are AI tools. I know the whole workflow and the whole stack is available now. That's okay. The thing is, I know all of this is possible to have Bitcoin Audible in my voice with my emphasis and tonality in other languages.
And that works really. I mean, that
it's a combination of a lot of things, and I'm definitely going to, I'm trying to start with, and this has been very, very slow moving. So for anybody listening, don't think that like this is happening tomorrow or anything.
The day after tomorrow, people.
Yeah, the day after tomorrow. The day after tomorrow. I still think I'm going to have to hire somebody to clean up the end of it, because there's an interesting thing. So like Whisper AI, not to go down the AI rabbit hole, but Whisper AI is a speech to text. And the interesting thing about the speech to text models is that they're really good at picking out words from spoken language, but not the context. So it's more likely to say, get a sentence that's wrong that sounds exactly like the sentence that's right. Mm-hmm. Like context might be literally cond space text, whereas obviously in the sentence, the word context is the only thing that actually makes sense. So in combination with that, the LLM, even though a large language model like ChatGPT or Llama or anything like that, it doesn't understand, it's not going to be as good at cleaning up or listening to audio. It's not an audio model, based model, but it is really good at looking at text and saying, in the context of this sentence, this is clearly what the word is supposed to be. And you can say to the LLM, take what it sounds like and assume that, you know, 8% of this or 5% of this is incorrect, and please make those corrections. So you can probably get 98% of the way there entirely with AI.
Wow.
And then the translation is really good. And then there's the LLM translations are really, really good. And then there is the models like 11 Labs is a fantastic one to recreate your voice. And you can specifically give it audio that you are in a different language that you are saying something, and it will straight take the tonality. Like it will take the emphasis and kind of the pause of the structure that you are saying and translate it into a new recording. But it's still got, the error rate is still just a little bit too much. It's a little bit too much to do it completely, which is why I think I'll have to hire someone to piecemeal go in and correct, kind of like, you know, when the sentence or the translation is off just a little bit or whatever, you know, make probably 20 to 30 corrections per episode.
But that's amazing.
But I think it's doable. And then at the end, you know, you've got a Guy Swan rant like in Spanish that, you know, I'm getting intense when I'm talking about something.
Yes,
exactly. So honestly, when I feel like the thing is ready, I think it'll be really, really cool. I feel like those language barriers are dropping. You know, they're slowly being chipped away. Well, actually, they're really quickly being chipped away with AI these days. But it's still there's not a whole package. There's not a full stack. I'm really having to combine like four
right
or
now.
Five
okay.
tools. Just a teaser. Just a teaser. 2 weeks. 2 weeks, TM.
Mom, Dad, so oh, this man. Guy Swan said,
tomorrow, you look it up.
You will be ready.
Oh, man. By the conference. 100%.
By the conference. Right. Don't you worry.
Oh, man. kind of give me a laid out of where you're planning on going with this. Like, so you quit your fiat job. Do you have a concrete plan? Do you have... are you just kind of like down the rabbit hole, is just like chasing what you're passionate about and what you're wanting to dive into and seeing where things.
Some people think this is maybe a little bit naive or stupid, because normally I always have a plan, like, you know, this is how it goes. for the first time, I don't have a plan. No, I just don't. I know when I fly to Buenos Aires, I know that my return ticket is not before mid-January. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like especially like El Salvador, I'm very curious about, because that's the Bitcoin country. So I want to just also learn and dive in, like, you know, and who knows who I'm going to meet there, like, you know, who knows, like, because there are so many things you can organize there as well. I mean, there's a whole conference, you know, you never know if the conference is saying, oh, Tania, we could need like help. Can you stay longer? I don't know. Like, you know, I'm just very, very open to everything. And yeah, I mean, my current job, I still have it and have to like work for that somehow. And
is it remote?
Yeah, I guess it is.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, and we don't have any physical events planned until next, I don't know, spring. So that's absolutely fine. And I mean, for me, is that my ideal world is like that LATAM, the Booth Initiative, will be a very amazing success. I will just write everything down, what I learned, what I've made wrong. And then I just like,
oh, that's great.
Like, you know, just do a blueprint. Yeah. Like who was it? Avi said to me, you should do a blueprint and just like make it public. So I just do that.
Dude, that's so great.
And then everybody just take this, learn from the mistakes and copy and paste it in every city, like everywhere. And
especially if you're an organizer, that's a great place where you kind of fit in, especially if you're a writer and an organizer. Because people discount how unbelievably valuable it is to just lay out what you did, what worked, what didn't work, and then mark that stuff off.
Yeah.
And what you have left is something that somebody else can build off of. That's how every standard ever got created. And standards make it so that people don't have to think.
Yeah, they don't have to think.
The reason it's easy to start this conversation is because we can say, hello, hey, how are you doing? We have a standard. You know, we know how to engage in a conversation and stuff. And like, you have to build that for all the things.
It starts with these small questions. It's like, do we need security for our booth? What do you mean security? Mm-hmm. It's like, we are actually renting TVs and everything in a gigantic neon sign. There are 10,000 people in Buenos Aires. Do you think somebody will steal that overnight? Yeah, this is happening in Germany. We have here security 24/7 for our booth. Like, you know, or how is a Wi-Fi connection? And like, is there trash like for the bin? Who's like organizing this? And all these kind of questions, like, if you don't know
all the little things that get lost in the mix. You know, you just show up and you start stacking all this stuff up, and then you just show up and it's like, wait. Did nobody get trash cans?
Yeah. Where's the bin bags? So, and I mean, for me, like, my biggest challenge so far is like the funding thing. I've never did that before.
Yeah.
It's like, when I put everything on Geyser, you need like a wallet and you need this and this. It's like, whoo, okay, how do we do this? And then,
was this your first experience setting up Bitcoin stuff?
Yeah. I mean, I do have like like wallets, like Wallet of Satoshi, and you know, I do have but literally, yes, it is. And I mean, the German community here is amazing. So I'm in this like female group. They call each other Le Femme Orange. So they're like very supportive and like because sometimes I don't like to ask stupid questions. Like, you know, how do I do that?
Whatever. Stupid questions are great.
They are so cute and helpful. But yeah, asking for funds to like people I don't know.
Dude, I'm so insecure about that.
I hate it.
Dude, I have
and
such a...
And they were like, why would I give you money?
And then you have to be like, but because.
No, it's like, I mean, the most like people I spoke to, like especially the Noster businesses, because like I spoke to Yaki Hon the other day, they supported this initiative as well, because they do not have the money in putting up a whole booth by themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, these are all new.
That's really cool, though. That's really cool, though, because, you know, everybody's on the struggle bus. And especially when, you know, you're looking at a community like this that is so driven by volunteers.
Yeah.
That is so driven by people in their spare time. Like you said, yeah. Everybody's got a fiat job.
Yeah.
But it's cool that you can basically, it's kind of like a joint booth, you know. Yeah. It's like, okay,
yeah,
here's 10 clients and businesses and yeah. people who are trying to make their way in Bitcoin. Let's put them all in an
Oster
booth.
Yeah, let's put it all together. Like in Prague, it was,
yeah,
they were sitting, like we were sitting there having a laugh, having networking, and this is just great. Like, just have a fun place to hang out and see where this goes. And yeah, when there are new people coming, just show them what Noster is capable of, and that's the idea behind. And but yeah, of course, is unfortunately these things, like, you have to pay somehow to
big uphill battle. Yeah.
And that's,
I'm curious.
Yeah. If you have, like, for me, the biggest struggle is how do you keep it neutral? Like, if you have one big main sponsor, like, then it's like, oh,
yeah,
you know, this is not cool. We don't like this. And it's like, and this is for me a real struggle. How do you manage this?
How do you manage preferences of the different people? And
yeah, I don't know.
People discount it. It's greatly discounted how difficult it is to work with people.
Yeah, I just,
like, as soon as you get four people in a room, there's an argument at some point.
Of course.
You know, like on a project.
Yeah.
And it is not easy to deal with. It's so funny. I used to think it's like, oh, if you had like 10 employees or whatever, it's like, oh, that's a small company.
Ooh.
And now I have like five people, six people that I work with. And all I can think of, somebody's like 10, I'd be like, good on you. Good on you. You're amazing. You're an amazing person. I don't know how you do it. You do.
Do it. Yeah. Oh my God. No, I don't. Yeah, no. Wow. I mean, running a company, I was running like an office with 20 men. That was enough in London. That was enough.
Yep. Oh, man. So I'm curious about your experiences with Bitcoin, with kind of like, what's the UX? Like, what's the biggest, wait, what is this kind of feeling or roadblock that you've had with Bitcoin? Or what's the greatest lack of familiarity? And then also, what seemed to just kind of work that you liked?
Yeah, well, for me, Bitcoin, I started actually investing in Bitcoin and taking it seriously just a year ago. I heard about it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. For me, it was like this, yeah, digital money, something for other people, because I have no idea how to do it. Yeah. Literally, that was my barrier. I do not know how to work with that. So, and then it was like a friend of mine who was like, okay, this is the easiest way for you to actually save money. Download the app called Relay and do a transfer every week. You have these 25 euros every week, Tanya. Everybody has it. I was like, okay, I can manage. This is fine. And then he was like, and do this. Promise me, do this. And then I did this and I wasn't checking it. And like, I remember at the beginning of this year, I checked this app. It's fucking doubled. I was like, what is happening? I was, okay. So I took a screenshot, sent to my friend. I was like, holy shit.
What is this?
What is that? He said, I told you. I was like, okay. And
that's how Bitcoin do.
Yeah. So this is, I mean, it's for my long-term investment, because.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have a house. I don't have a flat. Like, you know, I don't own anything.
You own some Bitcoin.
I own some Bitcoin, exactly. And this is, I don't take it off, sell it, reset. No, I just put it there. It doesn't matter. I do not look at the Bitcoin price. I just do it like automatically every week.
Yeah. That's the way to go, man. That's the way.
And see where, and everything I have left over, I put it straight away.
Yeah.
Like if you,
that's awesome.
Yeah, if I got a bonus or so, just put it there. It's not much, but you're gonna start somewhere, right? So
yeah, dude, man, my sister-in-law, so I'll use her as an example again. She I don't remember how many years ago it was now, but you know, she was like really tight on funds, but I was like, listen, you can do $10 a week. Like, you know, you can do $10 a week. Just set it up all automatically. And so she used Swan, and not too long ago, she was like, I'm going to have to sell. I'm going to have to sell some. I don't know. Like, I can't get through this, you know, month or whatever. And I was like, all right, well, I'll reach out to the people in the meetup and see if anybody's looking to buy. And we set it up. And then I went, she thought she was going to have to go into some savings that I sent her years ago as just like a, listen, you need this. Mm-hmm. Just put this on a hardware wallet. I gave her a hardware wallet. I said, just don't touch it ever. And she thought she was going to have to dip into that. And I was like, wait a second. When was the last time you looked at Swan? And she was like, oh, that's right. We went over and looked at it. She had like $3,800 in there because she'd been stacking the $10 and then she'd gone through the whole like dip down to 16,000 and 20,000 and she'd been $10 stacking the whole way. And so she probably put like, you know, $900, $1,000 into it maybe. And it's like up almost close to $4,000. And she's like, oh my God, this is great. It was like such a relief for the month, you know, yeah. Like she thought she was about to be in like a bad way, yeah. And like having to dig into stuff that she swore she would never touch. And lo and behold, that measly little $10 a week gave her that and some change, you know?
Wow.
So it worked out great. Yeah. But that's what when you have the long-term perspective, when you realize, especially when you pick up the fiat perspective, when it's really about seeing fiat for what it really is, and to realize that there is no time. You will have shifts in global liquidity. You will have zones where there's tons of debt being created and the Bitcoin price will heavily increase. Yeah. And then there will be contractions and they'll try to tighten and the Bitcoin price will crash. But all you have to do to understand the trajectory of Bitcoin is ask yourself two questions. Is Bitcoin going to survive? And are dollars going to be more or less in the future? Like, are there going to be more of them? And so if all you have to do is believe it, there's the question, yeah. The answer to the second one is really simple. There's going to be more dollars. Yeah. There will always be more dollars. There's going to be lots and lots and lots more dollars, which means that all Bitcoin has to do is not die.
Yeah.
And that is your savings vehicle. That's you just sit it there and you just stop thinking about it. You don't stress about it. It's long-term. And it is a foundation to hopefully have that day when the rain pours and you have to dip back into it. And thank God it's three times what you thought it was.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah, that's like what I used Bitcoin for. And, but yeah, it's for me, it's challenging and difficult to let people like, that people understand what I'm doing right now, like, you know, so
yeah.
The other day I had a very cool podcast with Nico Jilch. He's an Austrian guy, and
Nico,
yeah.
I know two Nikos in, but the Nico Jilch, is that how you say his last name?
Yeah,
I know Nico, yeah.
And he's that podcast. That was amazing. So I went to Vienna in his studio. We had a blast. It was just
in the studio. That's great.
Yeah, it was amazing. And I mean, that podcast, I don't know what happened, but since then, every person in the Dach region kind of knows me. So I went to Bitcoin meetup and say, oh, hi, Tanya. I was like, who are you? I was like, yeah, we saw you, like, which is nice. So, but people like my friends saw that interview and I was like, what is happening to you, Tanya? You changed. I was like, damn it.
Oh, like, that's
all
hilarious.
Over. Like, I was like, nobody will realize. Oh, no, it was German. It's like, shit. So, and they was
that's
like,
funny.
Why do you do this Bitcoin thing? It's just gambling and all these kind of things. I mean, I love my friends, like, you know, but I'm just like so tired of those questions. Yeah. And I just, yeah, just don't know what to reply or respond because it's just so draining, like drowning, like, you know. It's,
yeah. So I'll give you my perspective on that. So I would say first is the most important thing is to basically show your confidence in it because most people will respond to that way quicker than they will respond to an explanation, you know? And so my typical answer is I completely understand why from your perspective it looks that way. But the simple fact is that it's not. It's just not what you think it is. But if you ever want to learn about it, I am here with a million answers to a million questions. That's literally all I do. But I also want to give you a little bit of perspective that things are actually amazing. I know from probably the era that you have gotten into it, it's probably kind of in a low. You're probably in kind of like a bear market for like the social, what is this thing, you know? But I got in 2011. And so my baptism, so to speak, in Bitcoin with the 2012, 13, 14, 15, I was still trying to convince people through the most horrific bear market ever. And there is nothing that can get your old friends to look at you like you're a total idiot and what happened to you. As to be bringing up Bitcoin in 2014 and 2014 to them. So I will say it's better. It slowly, very, very slowly gets better, but it does get better over time. And just accept, just, you know, take the 5 days of total silence and just be like, just accept that this is how it's going to be. It is going to be the most supremely frustrating thing that you've probably ever had to deal with, that everybody looks at you like you have no idea what you're talking about. And you know, they don't have the slightest clue what you are in, but little breadcrumbs will just breadcrumb. And slowly their mental shift. Fiat is becoming normalized. The idea of fiat is becoming normalized. That was not a thing. That was not a thing at all. In 2012, 13, if you said fiat money, nobody had the slightest clue what you were talking about. That is a huge shift. And it is happening, but it is literally a mental shift and it happens on a generational scale. It's going to be 20 years. It's going to be 20 painful years. But at the end of that, you're going to be a genius who was actually working on the future. And you were the only one who was doing it. And you're going to be there and you were trying to help your friends. You know, so just so you know,
okay,
it's not great. It's not great, but it's going to get a lot better. It's just going to happen slowly. That's how I will frame that. Hopefully it helps.
Good advice. Yeah. I mean, and I think like once you open your eyes, you see, I mean, there was a Noster meetup in Berlin the other day. How great is that?
Like, I have not been to a Noster anything, like a specific Noster thing. I feel so bad. I feel sad. That's awesome that you have a Noster. So you went to the Noster meetup. What was that like?
It was so funny. It was literally in a bar I would never go to a bar I would
that's,
never.
That's always where it is. That's always where it is.
To a bar I wouldn't walk into. And there were just literally eight people, like two of them never heard of it before. Like the rest was obviously Bitcoiners. And then we had a discussion and it was like, we had, of course, an agenda. And then we were, and I loved it because like then the other person had a question, was like, oh, Primal is so slow, what are we gonna do? Yeah, have you tried out these relays? It's like, how do you do that? And they showed you, these are working, this is working. It's like, so this is how you do it. And I was like, oh my God, I would have like searched like somewhere and asked. And it was, yeah, this is just great. And that was cool. So
it's amazing the power of having direct experience. Like those, man, the meetups matter, man.
Yeah.
The real life meetups, the IRL meetups really make a difference. And I think it's discounted because we're usually on the internet world, the error community, so to speak.
That's like why I love this, like get together on these Noster days and the booth so much. I mean, yes, I can listen to so many podcasts, of course, and I do learn a lot, but having this physical like interaction, like face to face, you learn 18 times faster than listening to something. It's proven by science.
And 100%.
This is great.
Well, I hope, like I said, I'm not going to guarantee anything, but I hope that I get to see you at one of these conferences. Most likely, oh God, I'm not going to promise, but hopefully, eventually, there's no doubt I will be at a Noster booth and I will be at a conference and we will hang out and we will catch up. Hopefully Svetsky will be there and I can give him shit about something. But I just want to say, I know we're kind of hitting the end of our time here. I just want to say thank you. Thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for being in all of this. And also you need to purple pill your parents, because it sounds like they are a prime target for beginning to understand, and that there's just, God, there's a billion people out there like that. They're literally at least 100 million, at least 100 million.
Yeah, they will. Yeah. I'm going to get my dad a smartphone first, right? So.
Ah. Just baby steps. You get there.
Yeah. So, but no, thank you so much for having me. Really, that means a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. And for the audience, is there anywhere you want to direct them? In fact, I don't even think I've, send me your InPub or whatever so I can follow you on Noster.
You follow me already. We follow each other already.
Oh, I did? Yes. Okay, I did find it. Okay. Okay. It's probably in like our email conversation or something. I just forgot about it. Oh, there it is. Yeah, okay. Okay, I found it. Okay. We'll post that in the show notes for anybody in the description. But do your last call out or call to action here at the end of the show.
Well, yeah, just make this all happen together as a community and let's go and see where that goes. So,
hell yeah. Hell yeah. Well, Tanya, thank you so much. It's been a blast. And I'll hopefully see you at one of these sooner or later.
Bye. Thank you.
See you. All right. Links and details will be in the show notes. I hope you enjoyed this one as much as I did. Don't forget to check her out. We will have her InPub in the show notes, as well as a link to if you want to donate. Like I said, I need to find that. I'm going to get Johnny. I'm going to make my producer get the link together so that I can go and donate on Geyser, send them some zaps. Because this is just a really cool idea. And it also just shows the unbelievable power of Noster, is that we can crowdfund without crowdfunding. You know, everything that's happened with the whole stuff in Western North Carolina and being able to just flow money to where it needs to go. It's just, I don't know, it's just given me a lot of hope, and it's just such a powerful thing. And I think it's discounted when that barrier just falls to so non-existent that you can bring capital and resources and attach it directly to the social experience. It's just really cool. So I'm excited about it. This seems really, really awesome. And I hope you guys shoot her and everybody with the Noster Booth initiative some sats to try to get this set up and spread the good Noster word at all of the Bitcoin conferences. And I will catch you guys on the next episode of Bitcoin Audible. Do not forget to subscribe,
Do not forget to check out. We have links and details for if you want to get a cold card. We have a discount code. If you want to sign up and buy Bitcoin, we have a couple affiliate links, plus lots of other great things to share really soon. So stay tuned. And until next time, everybody, take it easy, guys.